My laws are just, my ways are right. They're all you need to fight the fight. Tear down the walls of Babylon and pay her back. She caused your need, war she made you lack.
Welcome to the Remnant Reading Room, featuring the book entitled Come Out of Her, My People, by C.J. Custer. This book was a major step in my walk of finding the true worship, the way our Father wants us to not only worship, but to live, and to exalt His name among the nations. Join us as we embark on this walk together to find truth and freedom from idolatrous ways. If you would like a copy of the scriptures included in today's program, you can find the download link by clicking on today's program in the station schedule at zion.org. That's spelled TSION.ORG. And now, let's begin today's reading.
My beloved, what have you sown? But seeds of doubt, I hear your cries and shut them out. Tear down the walls of Babylon and let her sink, washing in my word and rid you of the stain.
Today we're moving into a new chapter in Come Out of Her, My People, chapter 5, and we'll read through from pages 115 through the top of page 117. The title of this chapter is, Are We Outside the New Covenant? Have We Rejected the Sign of the Internal Covenant? Let's try to answer those questions today. Who is this remnant that shall escape? The remnant whom Yahweh shall call, the remnant of my people, of which we often read in the prophetical books. This remnant of her seed, described in Revelation 12:17. Revelation 12:17. And the dragon was enraged with the woman, and he went to fight with the remnant of her seed, those guarding the commands of Elohim and possessing the witness of Yeshua Messiah. This remnant of her seed is defined as those who keep the commandments of Yahweh and have the testimony of Yeshua Messiah, the two conditions required to be in that first fruit company. Revelation 14:1. And I looked, and I saw a lamb standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his Father's name written upon their foreheads. Similarly defined as conforming to both those requirements in Revelation 14:12. Revelation 14:12, here is the endurance of the set-apart ones. Here are those guarding the commands of Elohim and the belief of Yahushua. This is the first fruit company, the remnant, those who have not defiled themselves with women of Revelation 17:1-5. And one of the seven messengers who had the seven bowls came and spoke with me, saying to me, Come, I shall show you the judgment of the great whore sitting on many waters. Verse 2, with whom the sovereigns of the earth committed whoring, and the inhabitants of the earth were made drunk with the wine of her whoring. Verse 3, and he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast, covered with names of blasphemy, having 7 heads and 10 horns. Verse 4. And the woman was dressed in purple and scarlet, and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, holding in her hand a golden cup filled with abominations and the filthiness of her whoring. And verse 5. And upon her head a name written, a secret, Babel the Great, the mother of the whores and of the abominations of the earth. They are those who have heeded the command of our leader in Revelation 18:4. Come out of her, my people. Quote, and I will bring you into the wilderness of the peoples, and there I will plead my case with you face to face, and I will bring you into the bond of the covenant. Ezekiel 20, verses 35 through 37. Ezekiel 20, 35. And I shall bring you into the wilderness of the peoples, and shall enter into judgment with you face to face there. 20:36. As I entered into judgment with your fathers in the wilderness of the land of Mitzrayim, so shall I enter into judgment with you, declares the Master Yahweh. I shall make you pass under the rod, and shall bring you into the bond of the covenant. This is a prophecy for the end time, wherein we clearly hear from our Mighty One that, quote, the bond of the covenant, unquote, is Yahweh's requirement for us if we are to be part of the remnant. Our attention is drawn to, quote, the bond of the covenant, unquote, in this passage. In Revelation 11, 15 through 19, we also read, when Yahweh and His Messiah put an end to the kingdom of this world to set up the kingdom of Yahweh on earth, that the Ark of the Covenant is brought to our attention too, in verse 19. Let's read those verses. Revelation 11, 15 through 19. Revelation 11, 15. And the seventh messenger sounded, and there came to be loud voices in the heaven, saying, the reign of this world has become the reign of our Master and of His Messiah, and He shall reign forever and ever. Revelation 11, 16. And the 24 elders sitting before Elohim on their throne fell on their faces and worshipped Elohim. Revelation 11, 17, saying, we give you thanks, O Yahweh El Shaddai, the one who is and who was and who is coming, because you have taken your great power and reign. Revelation 11, 18, and the nations were enraged, and your wrath has come, and the time of the dead to be judged, and to give the reward to your servant, the prophets, and to the set-apart ones, and to those who fear your name, small and great, and to destroy those who destroy the earth. And Revelation 11, 19. And the dwelling place of Elohim was opened in the heaven, and the ark of His covenant was seen in His dwelling place, and there came to be lightnings and voices, and thunders, and an earthquake, and great hail. Remember, the most important contents of this Ark of the Covenant is the law written on 2 tables, the very same law by which we all will be judged in the great day of Yahweh. James 1:25 and James 2:12. James 1, verse 25. But he that looked into the perfect Torah, that of freedom, and continues in it, not becoming a hearer that forgets, but a doer of work. This one shall be blessed in his doing of the Torah. James 2:12. So speak and so do as those who are to be judged by a Torah of freedom. Messiah, in his final message to us in Revelation, has emphasized the necessity for keeping his Father's commandments in three places, namely Revelation 12:17, Revelation 14:12, and Revelation 22:14. Revelation 12:17. And the dragon was enraged with the woman, and he went to fight with the remnant of her seed, those guarding the commands of Elohim and possessing the witness of Yeshua Messiah. Revelation 14:12. Here is the endurance of the set apart ones. Here are those guarding the commands of Elohim and the belief of Yeshua. Revelation 22:14. Blessed are those doing his commands, so that the authority shall be theirs unto the tree of life, and to enter through the gates into the city. Yeshua also stressed it in the four evangels as well. And we have a long list of places where he stressed that, and we're going to read those now. Starting with Matthew 5:19. Whoever then breaks one of the least of these commands and teaches men so shall be called least in the reign of the heavens. But whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the reign of the heavens. Matthew 9:17. And he said to him, Why do you call me good? No one is good except one, Elohim. But if you wish to enter into life, guard the commands. Luke 10:28. And he said to him, You have answered rightly. Do this, and you shall live. Luke 16:17. And it is easier for the heaven and the earth to pass away than for one tittle of the Torah to fall. John 5:14. Afterward, Yeshua found himself in the set-apart place and said to him, See, you have been made well. Sin no more, so that no worse matter befalls you. John 8:11. And she said, No one, Master. And Yeshua said to her, Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. John 8:47. He who is of Elohim hears the words of Elohim. Therefore you do not hear, because you are not of Elohim. John 12:50. And I know that his command is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, as the Father has said to me, so I speak. The apostles stressed it too. Let's read it in, starting with Romans 2:26-29. So if an uncircumcised one watches over the righteousnesses of the Torah, shall not his uncircumcision be reckoned as circumcision? Romans 2:27. And the uncircumcised by nature, who perfects the Torah, shall judge you, who notwithstanding letter circumcision, are a transgressor of the Torah. Romans 2:28. For he is not a Yehudite who is so outwardly. Neither is circumcision that which is outward in the flesh. And 2:29, but a Yehudite is he who is so inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in spirit, not literally, whose praise is not from men, but from Elohim. Romans 3:31. Do we then nullify the Torah through the belief? Let it not be. On the contrary, we establish the Torah. Romans 7:12. So that the Torah truly is set apart, and the command set apart, and righteous and good. Romans 7:25. Thanks to Elohim through Yeshua Messiah, our Master. So then, with the mind, I myself truly serve the Torah of Elohim, but with the flesh, the law of sin. And Romans 8:7. Because the mind of the flesh is enmity towards Elohim, for it does not subject itself to the Torah of Elohim, neither indeed is it able. 1 Corinthians 7:19. The circumcision is not, and the uncircumcision is not, but the guarding of the commands of Elohim does matter. 1 Timothy 6:13-14. In the sight of Elohim, who gives life to all, and of Messiah, Yeshua, who witnessed the good confession before Pontius Pilate, I charge you, verse 14, that you guard the command spotlessly, blamelessly, until the appearing of our Master, Yeshua, Messiah. Titus, chapter 2:12-14. Titus 2:12. Instructing us to renounce wickedness and worldly lust and to live sensibly, righteously, and reverently in the present age. 2:13. Looking for the blessed expectation and esteemed appearance of our great Elohim and our Savior, Yeshua Messiah. 2:14. Who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to cleanse for himself a people, his own possession, ardent for good works. James 2:10-12. James 2:10. For whoever shall guard all the Torah and yet stumble in one point, he is guilty of all. 2:11. For he who said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not murder. Now, if you do not commit adultery, but you do murder, you have become a transgressor of Torah. James 2:12. So speak and so do, as those who are to be judged by a Torah of freedom. 2 Peter 2:21. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness, then, having known it, to turn from the set-apart command delivered unto them. But a footnote says, the singular command often means commands, plural. 1 John 2:3-4. And by this we know that we love him, if we guard his commands. Verse 4, the one who says, I know him, and does not guard his commands, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. 1 John 3:4-10. 1 John 3:4. Everyone doing sin also does lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. 3:5, and you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him there is no sin. 3:6, everyone staying in him does not sin. Everyone sinning has neither seen him nor known him. Verse 7, little children, let no one lead you astray. The one doing righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. 3:8, the one doing sin is of the devil, because the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of Elohim was manifested, to destroy the works of the devil. 3:9, everyone having been born of Elohim does not sin, because his seed stays in him, and he is powerless to sin, because he has been born of Elohim. And 3:10, in this the children of Elohim and the children of the devil are manifest. Everyone not doing righteousness is not of Elohim, neither the one not loving his brother. 1 John 3:24. And the one guarding his commands stays in him, and he in him. And by this we know that he stays in us by the Spirit which he gave us. 1 John 1:5, verse 3. For this is the love of Elohim, that we guard his commands, and his commands are not heavy. 1 John 5:18. We know that everyone having been born of Elohim does not sin, but the one having been born of Elohim guards himself, and the wicked one does not touch him. 2 John 6. And this is the love, that we walk according to his commands. This is the command, that as you have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. One of the saddest mistakes of the King James Version is its use of the word testament instead of covenant, as it should have been. The Greek word diatheke has been rendered covenant some 20 times and testament some 13 times. Since then, this most unhappy error has been corrected, and almost all newer translations have completely eliminated the word testament, although they all still persist with the man-made tradition of calling the last part of the scriptures New Testament. Just like the newer translations have now correctly done, all Greek-English interlinears have also avoided using the word testament in its text. Dr. Bullinger, in the Companion Bible, approximately 95, wrote, quote, the word testament as a translation of the Greek word diatheke, which means covenant, has been nothing less than a great calamity, for by its use, truth has been effectively veiled all through the centuries, causing a wrong turning to be taken as to the purpose and character of this dispensation, by which the errors of tradition have usurped the place of important truth. The word testament as a name for a collection of books is unknown to Scripture. It comes to us through the Latin Vulgate. Unquote. The Interpreter's Dictionary of the Bible, Volume 4, page 575, says, quote, there can be no doubt that the fundamental meaning of covenant in the New Testament is derived from and is a highly creative reinterpretation of the Old Testament berit, V-E-R-I-T-H, a two-party agreement, arrangement, in which one is bound by oath, unquote. What then is wrong with the word testament? On the same page in this dictionary, we read, quote, testament, properly a written instrument by which a person disposes of his estate to take effect after his death, unquote. A covenant is a binding agreement between two parties. It is a two-party solemn arrangement bound by oath. On the other hand, a testament is a written instrument by which someone has disposed of his estate. This exposes the very heart of the great apostasy of our time. This reveals the very carnal nature of man. Quote, because the carnal mind is not subject to the law of Elohim, unquote, writes Paul in Romans 8:7. Romans 8:7. Because the mind of the flesh is enmity toward Elohim, for it does not subject itself to the Torah of Elohim, neither indeed is it able. Also, carnal man only wants to receive and does not want to serve. Our Savior has taught us, quote, it is more blessed to give than to receive, unquote. Acts 20:35. All of this I did show you by laboring like this, that you ought to help the weak and remember the words of the Master Yeshua, that he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Believers are, or ought to be, in a covenant relationship with Yahweh and with Yeshua being the mediator thereof. Hebrews 8:6. But now he has obtained a more excellent service, inasmuch as he is also mediator of a better covenant, which was constituted on better promises. Hebrews 9:15. And because of this, he is the mediator of a renewed covenant, so that death, having taken place for redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, those who are called might receive the promise of the everlasting inheritance. Hebrews 12:24. And to Yeshua, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling, which speaks better than the blood of Abel. Yeshua has solemnly instituted the new covenant in Matthew 26:28. For this is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. The Scriptures version says of Matthew 26:28, for this is my blood, that of the renewed covenant, which is shed for many for the forgiveness of sins. We ought to have been in the same new or renewed covenant. Hebrews 8:10 and Hebrews 10:16. If we take the cup and the bread, his blood and his body. Hebrews 8:10. Because this is the covenant that I shall make with the house of Israel after those days, says Yahweh, giving my laws in their mind, and I shall write them on their hearts, and I shall be their Elohim, and they shall be my people. 10:16. This is the covenant which I make with them after those days, says Yahweh, giving my laws into their hearts, and in their minds I shall write them. Only the overcomers, the little flock, are experiencing the blessings of the renewed covenant now. But when Yeshua returns, it will become a physical reality. Similarly, only the first fruit company is now abiding by the laws of his kingdom. But with the second coming, the kingdom of Yahweh and its laws will be binding to all. He is our king now, living spiritually in our hearts. But when he returns, he will be king over all the earth. Revelation 11:15. And the seventh messenger sounded, and there came to be loud voices in the heaven, saying, "The reign of this world has become the reign of our Master and of his Messiah, and he shall reign forever and ever." Daniel 2:44. And in the days of these sovereigns, the Eli of the heavens shall set up a reign which shall never be destroyed, nor the reign pass on to other people. It crushes and puts to an end all these reigns, and it shall stand forever. Daniel 7:18. Then the set apart one of the Most High shall receive the reign and possess the reign forever, even forever and ever. Daniel 7:19. Then I desired for certainty concerning the fourth beast, which was different from all the others, very fearsome, with its teeth of iron and its nails of bronze, which devoured, crushed, and trampled down the rest with its feet. Daniel 7:20. And concerning the 10 horns that were on its head, and of the other horn that came up, before which 3 fell, this horn, which had eyes and a mouth which spoke great words, whose appearance was greater than his fellows. Daniel 7:21. I was looking, and this horn was fighting against the set apart ones, and was prevailing against them. Daniel 7:22. Until the Ancient of Days came, and right ruling was given to the set apart ones of the Most High. And the time came, and the set apart ones took possession of the reign. 7:23. This is what he said: The fourth beast is the fourth reign on earth, which is different from all the other reigns, and it devours all the earth, tramples it down, and crushes it. 7:24. And the 10 horns are 10 sovereigns from this reign. They shall rise, and another shall rise after them. And it is different from the first ones, and it humbles 3 sovereigns. Daniel 7:25. And it speaks words against the Most High, and it wears out the set apart ones of the Most High, and it intends to change appointed times. And they are given into his hand for a time, and times, and half a time. Or in other words, 3.5 years. Daniel 7:26. But the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away its rule, to cut off and to destroy until the end. And Daniel 7:27. And the reign and the rulership and the greatness of the reigns under all the heavens shall be given to the people, the set apart ones of the Most High. His reign is an everlasting reign, and all rulerships shall serve and obey him. Isaiah 24 23. And the moon shall blush, and the sun shall be ashamed. For Yahweh of hosts shall reign on Mount Zion, and in Jerusalem, and before his elders in esteem. Micah 4:7. And I shall make the lame a remnant, and the outcast a strong nation. And Yahweh shall reign over them in Mount Zion from now on and forever. Just a reminder, because we've had a lot of verses here and we're not through yet. All of these verses pertain to Messiah Yeshua being king over all the earth. And finally, we have Zechariah chapter 14, verses 4 through 21. And this selection of verses ends with etc., which means this isn't all of the verses that pertain to this, but this is all we're going to talk about today. Zechariah 14:4. And in that day his feet shall stand upon the Mount of Olives, which faces Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall be split in two from east to west, a very great valley. And half of the mountain shall move toward the north, and half of it toward the south. Zechariah 14:5. And you shall flee to the valley of my mountain, for the valley of the mountains reach to Etzel. And you shall flee as you fled from the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, sovereign of Yehuda. And Yahweh my Elohim shall come, all the set apart ones with you. Zechariah 14:6. And in that day it shall be, there is no light, it is dark. 14:7. And it shall be one day which is known to Yahweh, neither day nor night, but at evening time there shall be light. 14:8. And in that day it shall be that living waters flow from Jerusalem, half of them toward the eastern sea, and half of them toward the western sea, in summer as well as in winter. 14:9. And Yahweh shall be sovereign over all the earth. In that day there shall be one Yahweh, and his name one. 14:10. All the land shall be changed into a desert plain, from Geba to Ramon, south of Jerusalem. And she shall be raised up and inhabited in her place, from Benjamin's gate to the place of the first gate, and the corner gate, and from the tower of Hananel to the wine presses of the sovereign. 14:11. And they shall dwell in her, and there shall be no more utter destruction, but Jerusalem shall be safely inhabited. 14:12. And this is the plague with which Yahweh plagued all the people who fought against Jerusalem. Their flesh shall decay while they stand on their feet, and their eyes decay in their sockets, and their tongues decay in their mouths. 14:13. And it shall be in that day that a great confusion from Yahweh is among them, and every one of them shall seize the hand of his neighbor, and his hand rise up against his neighbor's hand. 14:14. And Yehuda shall fight at Jerusalem as well. And the wealth of all the Gentiles round about shall be gathered together, gold and silver and garments in great quantities. 14:15. So also is the plague on the horse and the mule, on the camel and the donkey, and on all the cattle that are in those camps, as this plague. Zechariah 14:16. And it shall be that all who are left from all the Gentiles which came up against Jerusalem shall go up from year to year to bow themselves to the Sovereign, Yahweh of hosts, and to observe the festival of booths. 14:17. And it shall be that if any one of the clans of the earth does not come up to Jerusalem to bow himself to the Sovereign, Yahweh of hosts, on them there is to be no rain. 14:18. And if the clan of Mitzrayim does not come up and enter in, then there is no rain. On them is the plague with which Yahweh plagues the Gentiles who do not come up to observe festival of booths. 14:19. This is the punishment of Mitzrayim and the punishment of all the Gentiles that do not come up to observe the festival of booths. 14:20. In that day, set apart to Yahweh shall be engraved on all the bells of the horses, and the pots in the houses of Yahweh shall be like bowls before the altar. 14:21. And every pot in Jerusalem and Yehuda shall be set apart to Yahweh of hosts. And all those who slaughter shall come and take them and cook in them, and there shall no longer be a merchant in the house of Yahweh of hosts in that day. That's all we have time for today. We will complete the next section of chapter 5, pages 117 through 119, in our next session. Hope you join us. Be blessed. Shalom. That's it for today.
You have bought insurance in the fear of losing it all. Go on and lose it all. Unless you give it up, it only proves that you never heard the call to come away. Come away, my beloved.
That's the end of today's reading. Be sure to join us next time as we continue reading more from Come Out of Her, My People. To see when the next program will air, go to the schedule on our website at zion.org. A copy of the scriptures we read today can be found by clicking on today's program in the station schedule on our website. To check the schedule and download a copy of the scriptures included in each program, go to tsiyon.org. And be sure to join us next time for more about why our Elohim tells us to come out of her, my people. Thanks for listening to today's program.
The restoration of the remnant of Israel is one of the most undertaught, neglected, and unknown major events in Bible prophecy.
A strange fact, since prophecies and references to this event can be found all throughout almost every major book of the Bible from Genesis to Revelation.
Now, Yahweh has raised up Zion Ministry to teach his remnant nation of Israel everything they need to know about this often neglected truth in his perfect timing.
To learn who the remnant of Israel is, what the Zion mission is, and why we teach the things we do, go to our website at zion.org. and click the Remnant Vision in the menu bar.
That is TSION.org.
Zion Road, the only way home.